This is the Way Back Throwback, 80s, 90s sitcoms. The Way Back Throwback is brought to you by the Trending Topics Network. Check out some great shows like The Split Decision, The Spanish Announce Table, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to the Way Back Throwback, your one-stop shop for all your 90s-related nostalgia. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. Oldschoolmovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to this podcast, as well as Old School at the Movies. And you can also reach me at oldmovies.net. That's Old Movies, D-O-T-net. Without further ado, let's introduce our panel for this week. We've got Heavyset.
Heyo.
We've got Kev Botrek.
Without further ado,
we've got Gallifrey.
What's up, dudes?
We've got Will.
Thanks for having me.
And we've got Carp.
I thought this was the no pants party.
Please don't.
Please don't. No, seriously, please don't. Let's get into our first sitcom.
It's a rare condition this day and age. News on the newspaper page. And love and tradition of the grand design. Some people say it's even harder to find. Well, then there must be some magic clue.
So we're obviously talking about Family Matters, the, I guess, ABC's version of we can have a black family sitcom too. Seemed a lot tamer than The Cosby Show, in my opinion. Laura Winslow wasn't hot. Urkel was pretty much...
Dude.
Yeah.
This is the theme for Full House, no?
No.
This is
yeah, it is. Full House.
It's Family Matters, you asshole.
Family Matters.
Why do I think
Full House, guys?
I wasn't the only one.
It
oh, my
so
God.
Similar.
Okay, let's play the Full House theme.
Okay.
We're terrible.
What he meant to say, it's the black Full House.
Pretty much it is the black Full House. Yeah, so like I said before, I was rudely interrupted. The 90s version of The Cosby Show, ABC's equivalent to, I guess, peer pressure that they have to have a black family sitcom. Very PG. I can't believe I actually watched this show, because looking back, it sucked. It wasn't funny at all. Urkel was pretty much, it's the Homer of the show. He was.
It was weird, too. It got weird sci-fi stuff.
He was completely typecasted. I mean, it was, he was the show. He was the most identifiable character.
And then became a wife beater after.
Yeah. He became a wife beater, yes.
I'm not joking.
What, in the sitcom, he beat up Laura Winslow, or what?
No. In real life.
See, that would have made the show interesting.
I don't want to hear about this.
Jeez.
You know, I read that he wasn't originally supposed to be the main character, right? It was supposed to be Carl.
Oh, yeah, Carl Winslow. Jumped in halfway through the first season. Even then, his appearances are sporadic at best.
Oh, yeah, because Urkel was a guest at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
He was a guest, and then he landed up, because he was so popular, landed up being on the show full time.
And they got super deep with his, like, clone twin.
That was weird, man.
Yeah, jumped. I mean, the show, in my opinion, sucked to begin with, but if there was a jump the shark moment, Steven Urkel.
Steven Urkel. That was messed up.
He went to space, too, you guys.
Yeah.
Stefan
Urkel. Kev Botrek, any memories from Family Matters?
I think making Urkel the center of the show. Like, he took it over too much. Like, I liked the show. I mean, granted, I liked it back when it aired, but I think...
What did you like about it, though?
The guy called Waldo.
It was so safe.
But that was an ABC TGIF 90 show. They were all safe.
Yeah, I agree.
But
I enjoyed it.
At the time, when you're, like, an 11-year-old, it's funny. You're not looking for this edgy, well, at least I wasn't when I was that age, like this super edgy comedy. I was just looking for something that...
Me too.
...was, I don't know, enjoyable at the time. And yeah, if you look at it now, obviously it doesn't really hold up, especially the massive stereotyping of Urkel. But one thing that I thought was interesting, and it's one of the first shows to do it, I believe, is where they take out a character and never mention her again.
The daughter, right?
Yeah, the daughter, Judy.
Yeah, because she was a jobber anyways. Who cares?
No, but it's like they completely erase her from the history.
But what was she? She didn't significantly do anything to the show anyways.
Oh, not at all, but like, you don't think they should have at least come with an explanation?
No, was there even an episode focused on her? No.
No.
What's the point? It's like you kill a cousin in Fresh Prince or something. Who cares?
But a lot of characters go missing in the family afterward. Like a younger brother, that other sister, some grandma. They disappear. They don't show up like ever again. It's weird.
Yeah, there was like an aunt and her son that like disappeared.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Rachel and Richie.
The hot one.
Yeah, Rachel and Richie.
She was the good-looking aunt, right? Like, the only good-looking woman.
Yeah, and she had her own business and everything, too.
None of them were attractive, really. Like...
How dare you?
No, but the mother was the mother was, like, a 2.
What? Carl Winslow was an 8. Solid 8.
No, wait.
No, but I mean...
Laura's friend was hot.
Yes, I agree.
I don't remember her name, but...
Yeah, Laura's friend. She was hot.
I don't remember who she was.
Well, why didn't Urkel go for the friend, then?
No, because he liked Laura. He didn't like her for her looks.
Guys,
only.
Laura had really giant boobs. You forgot.
Oh, really? I don't remember.
Seriously, there was a scene where Urkel's like, you know, Laura, don't run. Why? You bounce. It was so weird. I was 8, and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. What's bouncing?
I was 8, too, and I saw it. By the way, guys, my favorite character was Waldo. Anybody remember him?
Oh, yeah, black guy. He was
my favorite character. I was going to say
the black, but it's a black sitcom.
The black sitcom.
Everyone's black.
But he was like, what was the Fresh Prince's guy?
Jazz.
He was like the PG Jazz.
He was exactly, but he was fun because he was the kind of character I would have liked Urkel to be. Like, he was the character I was made for laughs, but not a complete stereotype.
He was a dumb fuck, that guy.
Guys, my favorite scene, his Halloween costume is his own face, the mask. And the guy's like, hey, it's Waldo. He's like, oh, how'd you know? He's like, okay, guess. And then he sees Carl come in, and Carl's just up as Zorro for Halloween. And Waldo's like, oh, man, look, it's Zorro. No, dude, it's just my dad. Your dad is Zorro? Like, that's humor that as an 8-year-old watching reruns, I had a lot of fun with.
That's just, I don't know, man.
I didn't like Urkel too much.
I like Carl. Carl was the best character.
Yeah, Carl's cool.
I guess I agree in Kebo Trek's point that, you know, for the time it was good, but it does not hold up at all, in my opinion.
But you know what's weird? It took forever to come on DVD. Forever.
I wonder why, because it sucked.
No. I think there were, like, rights issues, because that thing would just never come out.
That's not the only thing that took forever. I mean, my favorite show took forever. I was surprised this came first. It wasn't that good.
All right, let's move on. The one that got mistaken for Family Matters, this is Full House.
Whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paper boy, evening TV. Did I get delivered here? Somebody tell me, please. This whole world confusing me.
This is one of the quintessential shows of the 80s. The PG version of Bob Saget, along with America's Funniest Home Videos. The only time Dave Coulier has been relevant. Olsen Twins, before they grew up in the Paris Hilton slut clones. And from what I remember, the cast had fantastic chemistry.
John Stamos.
And John Stamos. He wants to start on Full House. Kev, you go.
The thing that I find really cool about the show is, can you hear me over the music?
Yep.
Okay, the thing I really find interesting about the show is just, like, how none of them are ashamed of it, or, like, they take pride in the show. Like, John Stamos, Bob Saget, all those people, like, they really take pride in the show, and that's kind of cool to see, because, it was, like, a cheesy... not movie of the week, but like special of the week kind of thing. Like every episode has a lesson. And, you know, it's kind of cheesy, but it's kind of cool to see like them such pride in it. And again, this is a show that doesn't hold up. It's a 90s feel-good show. But it's fun to watch. Like Han mentioned, everyone has great chemistry between the Gallifrey, you know, three daughters and three main guys. And what I think they did right that Family Matters did wrong was they didn't make, like, Kimmy Gibbler overbearing. Like, she didn't take over the show.
She's
annoying, but she didn't, like, the show didn't become about her, which I think was something that Family Matters should have did. And another thing I liked is how they brought in the Beach Boys to, like, collaborate with Stamos in that, so it was kind of fun to see.
Wasn't Stamos in the Beach Boys?
Well, he did some shows with them, which was pretty
cool. He was part of the Beach Boys, though.
I don't know if he was officially part. Like, I don't think he's, like, a member, but I know he did some stuff with them. So
I think you might be wrong on that.
I think I'm right.
I think you're wrong.
I don't know.
I think he's part of the Beach Boys.
Either way, it's just fun, like, seeing Jesse and the Rippers and stuff like that.
Jesse,
like,
and the Rippers.
I remember they made, a music video for the show. And, I mean, it's just one of those feel-good kind of shows that, you know, if you want your dose of sugar and you learn a moral lesson at the end of the episode, this is the show you're going to watch.
Anybody else want to discuss?
I can't believe how bad of a drug addict Jodie Sweetin ended up being. Like, she almost ruined her life.
The second sister, the middle one.
Stephanie.
Yes. Stephanie.
So Stamos played the drums, keyboards, guitar, bass, and various percussion instruments, and has occasionally performed with the Beach Boys. Dating back to 1985.
I think he was not
part of the Beach Boys.
Yeah, he is.
He would just associate himself with them.
Yeah, he's in there.
Yeah, I think you're both half right. Forget it. I remember Stamos' wife being pretty hot, too, back in the day.
Yes. Kid. Is that his real wife?
No, not even close.
No,
not in the show,
no. No, that was Rebecca Romijn.
That's too bad. They were my dream couple.
Married to Rebecca Romijn, then she left him for the fat kid from Stand By Me.
Jerry O'Connell.
That's what he's known as to you? He's my secret identity, Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah.
Sliders, man. Sliders.
Sliders. Yeah, four Canadians watched it, and you two were two of them. Yeah,
all right.
Full House also agreed to not age well.
Well, for me, this is my first American sitcom ever. I was really young when I watched this, and I thought that it was really cute, and I would tune in. I would try to tune in every time that it aired, because I was always learning, like, a valuable life lesson and family dynamics. I thought it was
okay.
Really fun.
What valuable life lesson did you retain from the show?
Something about lying, like not to lie.
There's something about lying, but I forget.
Yeah, one thing though about what Kev Voracek was saying about all the characters, all the cast being proud of the show. I actually read an interview where the Olsen twins admitted that they are not proud of the show because they were casted as a baby. And they felt like they were just silly monkeys, to quote them exactly.
They should have got more of a speaking role? They could have been fucking speak. Like, a bunch of douchebags, those two, anyways.
They got a lot of speaking time. They were always just very cute, but I think for them, they criticized themselves saying that they weren't really acting. They were just told, here, say this, and then they would. So it wasn't really acting, and they're not proud of how they performed on the show. Well, they were like, three? I mean, like, from a baby and then to, like, 5 years old, I guess? How long did this show lasted, anyway?
8 years.
It's about eight years. So yeah, it's from like 1 to 9 or something.
No, they were babies, and then until they were 8 years old, I guess.
Well, I guess what's good about being twins is you can't get replaced easily, and anyway. You'd have to have like another set of twins.
Well, no, but they usually do. Exactly. They just played one character.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
They just played one. Oh, one other thing I have to mention. I'm pretty sure every little girl my age watching this show was in love with Uncle Jesse. I don't know. There's no more females in this podcast at the moment, but I am sure everyone loves Uncle Jesse. Am I right? He was sexy and fun.
The hair. The hair. Don't mess the hair.
The rock, you know, personality. The rock and roll personality. Wow.
One thing about Full House that I think it makes it so memorable is that I think it still kind of went out when it was close to being on top, like not as doing as well, but like Family Matters, one thing about it, it did so well on ABC, then eventually said ABC's like, oh, we're going to get rid of you. And then they had the last like season or so on another network. And I don't even remember watching the last season. I think I was going through recent, like some, like it was on syndication and I happened to see it. And I was like, I don't remember seeing this episode. And I look and I'm like, oh, it was because part of the last season that was on another network.
I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, they did that with Family Matters and Full House. Step by Step, and they canceled them both.
Family Matters.
A year later.
All right. Let's get on to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
This is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. And I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel-Air.
Best intro ever.
Yeah, I agree. This one, in my opinion, still holds up.
Yeah, me too.
It's probably one of the greatest sitcoms ever, although... You know, what I really enjoyed about it was on a major network, but it did have a bit of edge to it. Uncle Phil and Will had great chemistry. Carlton and Will had great chemistry. And I think the only downside was Vivian number one, who apparently was a total bitch on the set. But apart from that, I mean, the show just has so many memorable moments. And I know it really pushed Will Smith into a great acting career and a bunch of action movies and stuff like that. So I got great memories of it. I know I've watched reruns on TV, and also my friend had a DVD box set, so I watched that and still thought it was funny. So great memories. It's a great show. Who wants to start?
If you're gonna ask me 10 years ago what my favorite show of all time was, I would have said Fresh Prince. It's a show that I grew up with, and I'm Will, and Will Smith's a cool dude. I don't know, I thought that he was a really cool role model. I watched it later. I did not catch all the racial issues that the show addresses. It addresses a bunch, and the whole point is that Phil, to him, he's a respected man, or he believes himself to be. He doesn't see himself as being black and him working with whites anymore. He says all being equal, and he made it. And yet we realize that that's not the case. He's still ignored sometimes. And the fact that he's black does become an issue at certain times. I didn't see that as a kid. So it's interesting to see it then for the fun stuff and to see it now as the show it really was.
Who else wants to discuss?
Do you guys remember the scene when, the episode where Will's dad comes back and they were supposed to like go on a trip together and Will's dad like bails at the last second? I don't know if you guys remember that.
I don't remember Will's mom, not his dad.
No, but so it was kind of cool with the like that episode. It was because, you know, Will Smith, like the actor, had like similar dad issues. So that scene was like, it wasn't acting with him and Phil. Like there was a final scene. If you guys don't remember it, I suggest you check it out because it was probably the best scene of the series. You can see it wasn't just acting. Like you can see there was some real like emotion in that from Will Smith, the actor. So it was really kind of cool to see, and it just really kind of showed that, like, you know, his relationship with Carlton was one thing, but the kind of the heart of the show was his relationship with Uncle Phil and how he became his father.
You know, it's a good point you mentioned, because they did have some serious moments on the show, some really well acted moments, especially with his girlfriend with the short hair. They had some good back and forth. They had some serious moments with Carlton too, when he was like part of a gang or something, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
That one was more tongue in cheek. I think the one you're thinking about is where
he did drugs.
There was that one, but there was a robbery.
Okay.
And Will ends up getting shot, and Carlton goes and buys a gun.
Oh,
to protect himself.
But that's quite interesting. You know, we don't remember specifics from Family Matters, but you just quoted three or four pretty prominent episodes, and you know, it's probably been a while since we've seen him. So that, to me, that just goes to show how much of an impact a show has like that when you can remember several years later specific scenes and episodes.
Yeah, definitely. And I suggest watching a couple of those scenes because they're really just fantastic scenes, especially for a 90s comedy, which you wouldn't really expect.
Sometimes the world looks perfect, nothing to rearrange. Sometimes you just get a feeling like you need some kind of change. No matter what all this time, nothing's gonna stand in my way. This flame in my heart, like a long lost friend, gives every dark street a light at the end. Standing tall,
starring Bronson Pinchot and Mark Lynn Baker. Balky Bartholomew. Is it Bartholomew or was it Barky? Balky, what the hell's his name?
Bartokamus?
It's possible, yeah. So they're cousins living in Chicago. He's a foreigner, obviously. It seems like he's a bit of a ripoff of the character from Taxi that Kaufman did. It just
Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, it just seemed like a bit of a kind of a more PG version of that. I don't remember specifics on the show, but I remember the banter was good, the back and forth. They had good chemistry. Balky, of course, is like Urkel. It's one of those, you know, 80s, 90s characters that you kind of never forget. Anybody else want to discuss?
This and Family Matters, one of them's a spinoff of the other.
I don't remember seeing Balky on Family Matters.
Family Matters was actually the spinoff of this. From what I understand, Family Matters
That's what I thought.
Season 4.
Oh, really? Yeah. So who was on Perfect Strangers?
I think it was Harriet.
In the fall of 1989, after two seasons on Perfect Stranger, Henriette's character was given her own spinoff series, Family Matters, joining Perfect Strangers in the TGIF lineup.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because it started in season 3. Harriet Winslow was working as an elevator operator. Her husband, Carl, is introduced in the 4th season episode, Crime Busters. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
Well, a lot of these, I was looking before, a lot of these, like Full House and Perfect Strangers stuff, they've all piggybacked off each other at some point during the TGIF nights.
Well, that would make sense that they would use the properties for that. I don't remember like the other ones kind of guest hosting, but
what they did was, I remember like where they all kind of like connect. There was always like some point where like somebody from one episode knew somebody from the other. I know when they did the like some Disney episodes, a lot of them there was like cameos that they'd run into each other. I remember one night in particular, there was like a chain letter going around, and everybody from every show ended up getting it, and it was whoever was in the first show was like, well, I'm going to send it to this person, and it was someone in the second show. And I remember they did, I think, that's where they did something with Family Matters and Step by Step.
Yeah, and the shows on the TGIF lineup, sometimes they had crossovers a lot. So yeah. I remember that. It was very fun.
I mean, Full House had a crossover episode where Urkel helps Stephanie Tanner deal with her anxiety.
Oh,
because she
yeah.
has to wear glasses.
And yeah, I remember that.
They met up on Boys Meets World from Family Matters, as well as
Step by Step. What's her name?
That's the one with Suzanne Summers.
Yeah. I forgot the girl's name. Dana. Dana crossover to help Corey with a problem.
Yeah. I mean, all these guys have ended up on shows together.
You guys remember Alf?
Fuck yeah.
Of course.
I remember him trying to eat that fucking cat all the time.
Yeah. Was it the first, like, primetime sitcom with, like, a puppet?
I wouldn't think so. I would say probably Muppet Show for that.
Was that in primetime?
Muppet Show back in the day was.
Yeah, definitely in primetime.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember specifics on this at all. I know it was early 80s.
Alf found the signal from the main father, crashed in his thing, and he was just trying to keep him a secret, from what I roughly remember.
Yeah, and Alf stands for Alien Life Form.
Oh, okay. There you go. Anybody remember specific episodes, like, or...?
I remember as a kid, I used to love Alf. Like, I was at that age when... Because, I mean, there was a lot of marketing for it. I think there was a spinoff cartoon for it and all of this kind of stuff. A couple years ago, they started replaying it on some network. I can't remember which one. And I was recording them and watching them, and I absolutely loved it. Now I have all the episodes downloaded. I haven't sat down and watched any of them. But to me, it takes me back a little bit. I don't remember a lot of them as a kid, but I always remember certain aspects of it. And it's that whole thing of keeping Alf a secret. I only think it lasted like 4 seasons.
All right, let's get into our next one, because I don't remember Alf at all. This is a good theme.
Yeah,
starring Harry Anderson as the judge, John Larroquette, I believe, as the prosecutor, Karen Austin is like the defendant, and then you had Richard Mall as that like bald
Bull.
Bull. His name was Bull?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, this ran from 84 to 92. I mean, it was fun. It's for what it was. A lot of sarcastic humor. You know, definitely different kind of concept. I don't remember ever seeing anything similar at all. So I don't even know if you're allowed to do Night Court in real life or if that exists or not. But I don't remember specifics on this one either. You know, it's just your typical 30-minute sitcom with this. They did different cases. And I remember a recurring character actually was Data from Star Trek. He played like a hick farmer or something, if I remember correctly. And he was always getting fined for shit. I forget. But
Brent Spiner as Bob Wheeler.
Yeah.
And it's like Urban Hillbilly, who's frequently defended in Harry's courtroom, usually as the result of a series of freak disasters befalling him and his destitute family.
Yeah, no, I remember they were on the show a lot of times. And looking back,
yeah,
I'm like, that's Data.
Well, I also remember Gilbert Gottfried had a couple of... He, like, filled in for Dan when he wasn't there.
Okay.
As a prosecutor. Yakov Smirnoff had a couple of appearances.
In Russia.
And I remember Mel Torme as well. Yeah. So in the first season, Harry saved a distraught Yakov from a suicide attempt. So, I mean, I'm assuming they got into some deep stuff, too. I remember the first bailiff, the woman, she passed away. Selma Diamond. Where she died
the blonde,
like,
right?
Shortly after the second season. Yeah, the old blonde woman.
She was Butch, though, and then, no? Was she Butch or was the
I
second
I don't remember.
Butch?
No, I don't know. They've gone through three women. Like, there's three different female bailiffs, though. The one from season one and two died. The one in season three died. And then the last one, Marcia Warfield, which...
Has that ever happened before?
Most of us remember the most. On a TV show?
Yeah.
Probably like not.
Two of them dying? Yeah. Let's get into our next sitcom.
Coast to coast to make you smile, a real live look at each of you to capture all that style. You're the red, white, and blue, the fun and things you do. America, America, this is you. Stories from your friends next door, they're never told. You might be a star tonight, so let that camera roll.
Yeah, I mean, this was, I don't know if it's considered really a sitcom because it's more of a reality TV show, but it was in that era, so I figure I'd consider it for the show. This is starring Bob Saget. He was the host, America's Funniest Home Videos. Definite staple for ABC in the 80s and 90s. You know, the concept was you would send in a VHS cassette of a funny video. Saget would then kind of dub his voice over it with some kind of funny voices or making fun of the video, and probably cost next to nothing to make and probably made a crap ton of money for the network. Definitely a great concept for its time, you know, a precursor to the reality TV era. So, and I mean, I can't remember specific videos or nothing, but I remember watching it absolutely every week religiously, along with its sister show, America's Funniest People, with Dave Coulier. Who wants to start?
I remember a specific video. It was a tape of a family announcing to these two young boys that they're going to have a sister because the woman's pregnant now. And the two boys start crying, so sad that they'll have a sister now. And then what happened, that the tape was old, but you saw them. They were invited there. Everybody's invited there. And which I think is the expenses were pretty much just, you're right, it didn't cost much to film, but it was just the production there and having all those people accommodating
them. Wasn't
it the
top three that were there, though? Just the top three?
Oh, just top three? Like,
yeah.
That would make sense. Okay, so yeah, so then, yeah, there's a budget. Okay,
what
good.
Was the prize?
$10,000.
Okay.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Well, pretty much, yeah, they were there and you saw them all grown up and their younger sister was there too. And so Bob Saget would have fun with the crowd as well. That was fun.
Yeah, I mean, Bob Saget was like the ABC go-to guy. He was like the, what's his name, John Bergeron? Or what's his name now, the guy that does Dancing with the Stars?
Tom Bergeron.
He's like the Tom Bergeron of the 80s, Bob Saget. It just, very PG, and then, you know, when he kind of let loose.
Not the Howie Mandel?
Real.
No,
what's that?
What about, he's not the Howie Mandel of the 90s? No, it's not good.
I don't know. Anyways. Yeah, so Bob Saget was everywhere pretty much for ABC in the 80s. Great memories of the show, though. Who wants to discuss?
One thing I really liked about the show is how at the beginning of every episode they had like different, like there was like a little, like it was on top, and they'd have like this different scene of different people watching the show.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if you remember that. Like, yeah. one week it might be football players in like their gear. One week it would be a family. One week it would be something else. Other than that, I'm not sure really there's too much to say about this. Other than, you know what? This show is kind of like the precursor to all those videos on YouTube.
It
like
is.
When the compilation of the yep. funny like falls and crashes. Yep. And you know what? That stuff still makes me laugh today.
But you know what? YouTube is, it completely killed it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But at the same time, now you have like Ray William Johnson doing the same stuff, but on YouTube itself.
No, it's like, true. It's like a yeah, filter. But a bunch yeah. of them are doing it now, like the best of, and they have
the
shows,
of.
Compilations and stuff. But this was definitely the precursor to that.
Yes,
100%. Yeah. Fully agree. America's Funniest Home Videos was the place to go for cute, funny cat videos back in the day.
I wonder if the creators of YouTube said, okay, let's take America's Funniest Home Videos and make a website.
I don't know. But
pretty much that's what I think it was.
Does anybody remember the show that would follow after it? It was hosted by Dave Coulier.
Funniest People,
somebody
yeah.
else. Yeah. I used to like that show more.
Really?
Because there was a lot of stuff that they did that was like a little bit different. It wasn't like caught on video funny. It's like, we're going to like purposely do stuff on camera and have it be funny. Like they had that like Jackrabbit thing that I always thought was funny. Was,
well, he had his characters cool, yeah.
Yeah, there was that. And then they always did like stuff, I think, in the middle of malls where they would kind of like, I don't remember exactly. I want to say they would like just get people to say stuff or like or have like weird talents and stuff like that. I can't remember everything off the top of my head, but I just remember loving that show for like some of the things that weren't exactly like America's Funniest Home Videos. When I wake up in the morning and the market's out of water, I don't think I'll ever make it on time. By the time I grab my books and I give myself a look, I'm at the corner just in time to see the bus fly by. I know I'm in a mess and my dog ate all my homework last night. Riding low in my chair, she won't know that I'm there. If I can hand it in tomorrow, it'll be alright. It's alright, cause I'm safe at the hill. I'm saved by the it's alright, cause I'm saved by the it's alright, cause I'm saved by the bell. Saved by the Bell. This was a staple for NBC Saturday mornings, if I remember correctly. I remember Tiffany Amber Thiessen being really hot for me at the time. I think she was on a poster on every boy's wall. Zach, what is it? Mark Paul Grosslier? He was Zach, I think. I remember him being like the cool guy. Everybody wants to be like him. I mean, a lot of these guys have gone on to do a bunch of stuff. I know the guy who played Zach is in, it's a lawyer buddy comedy. What's it called?
Franklin and Bash.
Yeah, Franklin and Bash. That's a great show. Thiessen's been in a bunch of stuff. She's now in Blue Collar, if I remember correctly. Elizabeth Berkley went on to a different medium. And also, what's his name?
Dustin Diamond didn't do, yeah.
Dustin Diamond went that route, too.
Yeah, he did a sex tape.
But he was saying it was a body double.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, really?
I know, yeah. Apparently the Lark Voorhees got all fucked up, too, from what I heard.
She had massive plastic surgery, didn't she?
She apparently had a bunch of plastic surgery, but let's see. She had a drug problem. She's been diagnosed as bipolar. I mean, not good things. And her name's not Tiffany Thiessen. It's Kelly Kapowski, man. Kelly Kapowski.
Get it right, damn it.
Get it right.
Pretty highly rated, if I remember, Kebo Trek as well.
Yeah, if I recall, it was always the most highly rated out of all the...
Yeah.
The SNBC, was it SNBC or no, TNBC? Like what all the other ones, like Hang Time, City Guys, and all that.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper. No, that was ABC.
No. It was Hang Time, a basketball show. It was City Guys, about a white and a black guy that become friends. and there was usually another show, California Dreams.
The surfer one.
Yeah, well, a surfer slash having a music band.
Yeah, California Dreams has the cheesiest themes video ever.
And they actually
bad effects.
It was cool when they reunited on Jimmy Fallon. And they played their song and that, so that was pretty cool.
I like that one. It had one Asian girl. Yay.
What pissed me off about the Saved by the Bell cast is Thiessen was too good to go on the reunion on Fallon, which kind of sucks because I think everybody else did, right?
I don't recall that reunion.
No, but you remember Fallon wanted to get it and Thiessen was the only one that said no?
Right. Yes. Okay. Yeah, I remember. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if you guys remember this, but on the Today Show, she was doing something and the guy who played Richard Belding came out. It was a little game show type thing and he came out and she was pissed.
Why?
I don't know why, but it was you can see she was what the hell's going on here?
Really?
It was, I forget his name, who played Richard Belding, but...
Really? She was pissed?
Yeah, you should check it out. It's on one of the, I think it's today's show, but it's one of the morning shows. And, she was kind of what's going on in here? So it was kind of funny to watch.
But I don't see what her problem is. I mean, that's where she got her start. She's not getting typecasted. She's already got a career. What's she pissed off about?
I'm surprised, because she was on the spinoff, I think, right? The primetime one?
Yeah, she was.
Apology, yeah.
But, Paul Gossier, he went on Fallon in character, which I thought was kind of cool, recently.
That was awesome when he did
that. But that's fun. Why not poke fun at, your past self? Why do you got to be a stuck-up piece of crap? You know what I mean? I hate that, man. And Thiessen's hot, too. You're hot. You shouldn't be
almost dropped the C-bomb there,
almost
buddy.
Dropped it. Didn't, but almost. You shouldn't be a jerk like that. You know what I mean? I don't know. Stuck up. Anyways, let's go to Boy Meets World. Oh, that's Fred Savage's brother?
Yep.
All right, who wants to start on Boy Meets World?
I'll start. So to borrow what Kevin Trek was saying, I really love the fact that the cast of this show is so proud of their show that they often reunite and post pictures on their Twitter accounts. And they're even making a spinoff show on the main character's children now. It's really cool. Girl Meets World,
yeah.
Yeah, it's Corey Matthews, Topanga Lawrence's daughter. And this is one of my favorite characters in all of sitcom is Mr. Feeny. Mr. Feeny is by far the best character for me. He's the one who taught me so much about life, way more than all the other shows ever did. This is one of my favorite shows. I even bought the DVD set.
The stereotypical teacher.
Yeah, the teacher that follows them through primary school, high school, college. He just didn't go to New York with them, which was very, very funny. Why didn't he just go?
At that point, yeah, he was pretty much a teacher for everything
else.
Yeah,
yeah. I remember reading that the cast actually went on to do many other things. Wilfredo, the Corey Matthews brother, voices video game character.
No, he's also Batman.
Yeah, that's a video game character.
I'm Batman.
He's the TV show character.
Whatever.
Batman.
And obviously everyone knows Ryder Strong. He does a lot of indie films, right?
No.
Really? You didn't watch...
Never heard of Ryder Strong in my life.
He's done a bunch of indie horror films.
It sounds like a porn actor.
The name, right? He does Cabin Fever. Did everyone watch Cabin Fever?
No.
All right, never mind.
That's hilarious.
All right, let's go on to...
I remember when I was growing up, too, it was when I was starting to, have my interest in women, and Topanga was growing up and getting older at the same time, and I'm like, God damn, that girl's hot. She looks phenomenal nowadays. So.
I was going to say the exact same thing. Like, you mentioned Kelly Kapowski. For me, growing up, it was Topanga. Like, she was, wow.
Yes. She's hosting some kind of, like, video reality show now, isn't she? Something
Tough. What's it called? I forget what it's called, but she looks damn hot in that, too.
I know. She's very curvy. And I'm very excited to see her in Girl Meets World. It's going to be on Disney Channel. I'm gonna tune into that. And I hear that they've got older cast members. They're going to be joining or at least making cameos in the show.
Yeah, they got... what's his name? What's the Ryder Strong's name? They got
Sean Hunter.
Feeny, the parent. Even Minkus is going to be in an episode.
Oh, Minkus is on like two... what is it? What is it on One Tree Hill or I don't know what?
Yeah, he was on One Tree Hill as Mel.
Is that the nerd?
Yeah.
The young nerd.
It was kind of cool. Like, he was on, I think, the first year. He disappeared. Mm-hmm. Then they brought him for like the last episode of like when they were in high school. So it was kind of funny. Like,
and he's and he says that that they don't hang out with him because he's like over there on the other side.
Graduation. And when he's asked where he's been, he said he was on the other side of the school the whole time.
The other side of the room.
Behind the set.
It was kind of like cool, like just to break the fourth wall a bit.
That's it. And did you guys know that the dean from college actually marries Mr. Feeny later on? She's actually his real wife.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's so cute.
Huh. I was gonna say we got to bring up the cameo dad of Vader.
Vader was in this show.
Yeah, he was either the bigger kid that was in, and then a lot of Kevin Smith films. I can't remember his name. I know he's in Butterfly Effect.
The big kid.
My name is Earl.
Big kid.
Oh yeah, he was. Oh, I know that guy. He was one of Harvey's goons or whatever.
Oh yeah, what was his name? There's a skinny small dude and a big one whose dad is a wrestler.
Yeah, right? It was Vader.
Oh, he was a real wrestler. They brought in as a cameo for the dad.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, and the last cameo they did, he was in WWE, and I remember it was Topanga's birthday and this wrestling event, and it was. Sean and Corey going back and forth from the party to the event, and
that's the old one
of the few things I remember. they referenced the Flintstones, obviously. In that one.
Yeah.
All right. So joining us is Phil. Phil, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, good.
All right. Let's get into Roseanne. The intro, I think, every year was them eating different types of food, if I remember correctly. One year was Chinese, the other one was like pizza. And
Yeah,
you know what? My mom loved this show, so because she'd always have it on, I'd watch it. She'd watch it religiously. It broke the mold in terms of like stereotypical sitcoms, because you didn't have like plus-size people, or they would just be like the fat cop or... the uncle, you know what I mean? So you didn't have a sitcom with just a typical American family. And so this really broke the norm. It was a bit darker, and they did touch some pretty deep issues, too.
Did you see the ending? Okay, I'll let you finish old school, then we'll discuss
it. Oh, thanks for letting me finish.
I'm going to let you finish, but just letting you know that Boy Meets World is the best show of all time.
Thank you, Kanye. I think they also broke the fourth wall because I know Becky changed, I think, a couple years in, 5 years in or something. And they kind of mentioned that, like, hey, you look different, or I don't know, maybe it's my hair or something, whatever it was. Or was she in that the last season or something? But I know Becky
changed. I think the last season they went back and forth between both actresses.
What happened with that? Was it just she quit the show? Or
She went on to do something else, but then that didn't work out, so she came back.
Oh, okay. Anybody else want to discuss Roseanne?
Well, you touched on something like about not being like it really broke like the typical sitcom thing in a lot of ways, where not only like didn't they look like the typical sitcom, but they weren't one big happy family. Like it wasn't where everyone loves each other. Like there was real family problems in there. They weren't in like they weren't this rich kind of they weren't a rich family. Like they were having money trouble. The mom works at a factory. It was a realistic kind of a sitcom about a family living in Midwestern U.S.
Yeah, because it's true because like the father wasn't like a lawyer or well off or a cop or
yeah, exactly. And Nick Nodhead, like they didn't love each other. I remember for a year or whatever, the dog Becky was always mad about something with Roseanne. You know, Darlene was moody, so it really broke the mold of the typical happy sitcom family. And I think that's part of the reason it was so good, because it broke that mold and it was more realistic than you're going to get from a Full House or a Step by Step and things like that.
Actually, I think Roseanne, she actually had different jobs throughout the series, which you don't see with many other shows, to where they go from job to job, job. I remember she worked at a diner at one point. She worked at a beauty salon.
Did she own the diner or something?
Yeah, it was Loose Meat something. Like a few of them started the business, but like it wasn't this massively successful business.
And then also the husband too, he opened his own shop, bike shop or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then did she win the lottery or something at the end?
The ending is odd. Who wants Carb? You remember the ending?
Yeah, it's just it was like you find it. It's well, it goes down by a lot of people as one of the worst series finales ever. But yeah, you find out like the father had a heart attack like at the beginning of the season, and this was like her stories that she made up the entire time. Yeah, Roseanne reveals the entire series itself is a story written by Roseanne Connor about her life. To cope, Roseanne twisted major elements of her life for the story, which the audience does not find out until the final moments of the series. In reality, Dan's heart attack was fatal, and the Connor family did not win the lottery. Also, Jackie is a lesbian and Beverly is straight.
Jeez.
There you go.
David and Becky were a couple all along, as were Mark and Darlene, rather the opposite. Becky and I think like she ended up being a single mom or something, but yeah, it was like super depressing ending. And this is one of those like, how could you end a series like that after 9 years? And what the fuck is
wrong? Well,
it was the whole year though. Like that whole last season was so bad with them winning the lottery.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what they were thinking.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's get into the Cosby Show. Felix Huxtable, I think he was a doctor from what I remember. And, you know, they did go in life lessons. It was kind of PG, but Cosby was funny from what I remember. His typical Cosby. Malcolm Jamal Warner was in this as well as the troublemaking son. You know, you see shows like Family Matters and that totally copying this. Who wants to start with the Cosby Show?
I guess I'll start. I mean, it's a typical Bill Cosby show, but I think his humor translates pretty well. Like, even if you watch it today, I think it holds up pretty well. And yeah, this is really one of the first shows that's a successful black family and it not really being an issue. Like, it was more they're successful. It's not about, I guess there were still race issues, but it wasn't primarily about, you know, it wasn't a show about racial issues. It was a show about a successful family that happened to be black. But honestly, I don't remember too much about this show.
Anybody else?
All I remember are the Cosby sweaters. those were pretty iconic. I don't remember any plot points or anything about that show. Yeah. But it was a highest rated show for a long time before The Simpsons came along.
Yeah, I remember it was a beast for NBC.
Yeah. The Simpsons were so happy to be the Cosby Show in the ratings that they actually put that in one of the shows.
The Coors Light Brewing Company can't promise.
Nope.
I didn't know Coors Light sponsored Cheers.
Like, no, the Cheers theme is just a Coors Light commercial. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
There we go.
Dum, 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 dum. And the song won't fucking play. Dome, dome.
You're just trying to do it.
Thank you, pre-roll.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got.
I think everybody knows the song by heart.
From all your worries, sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? All those nights when you've got no lights, the check is in the mail, and your little angel hung the cat up by its tail, and your third fiancé didn't show. Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came.
In your mouth.
You wanna be where you can see, our troubles are all the same. You wanna be where everybody knows your name.
And I gotta play one more quick one.
Hey, Lilith.
Query. If I had a problem and needed to talk to someone about it, would it be perpetuating a stereotype to actually select a bartender?
Well, that depends.
On what?
On what you just said.
I feel like a failure. A failure as a mother, ergo as a woman and a person. Do you make a drink for failures here at Cheers?
Oh, hold on a second. Phil, what are you drinking?
A Manhattan.
Manhattan. You know, sweetheart, I'll bet my bottom dollar that you're a pretty good mom.
Yes, well, considering that endorsement comes from a perennial Peter Pan with no sense of maturity or obligation, you'll excuse me if I don't leap over the bar, embrace you, and say, really, Sam, you think so?
Well, glad I could be there for you.
I'm sorry. Perhaps I'm just bitter because Fraser is succeeding with our son where I failed. He is indeed a better influence on my precious baby.
Hey, guess what, everybody? Little Frederick beat Cliff at darts.
Fraser?
Uh-oh.
What are you doing here? I didn't give my son to you so you could run off and spend the day in a bawdy house.
Yes, well, my little chopped salad. I mean, we just got here, what, 10 minutes ago?
Hmm? You're lying.
Well, yes, I'm lying, but... I thought that Frederick might enjoy himself.
Enjoy himself in a bar? He's 11 months old. What kind of values can he learn here?
Well, I thought the place had a lot to offer.
Oh, please. He'll never learn to speak in this environment.
Afternoon, everybody.
No!
Yeah, okay, just playing a little quick clip from there. You had spinoffs from this. Frasier was a spinoff. I mean, we're going to talk about Frasier in a little bit. It's interesting because this whole sitcom pretty much predominantly airs in the bar, if I remember correctly. There's no other, or maybe just in the office next to the bar, but it's pretty much in the bar itself. Ran 11 seasons, one of the highest rated shows on television, starring Ted Danson and Shirley Long. Rhea Perlman, George Wendt as Norm. Woody Harrelson, of course, was a bartender, Kelsey Grammer. Just a fun show. Again, I don't remember specific plot points myself, except for, like, Norm, you know, when he comes out, and they had the banter with Frasier and Lilith and stuff like that. But all around a great great sitcom. Who wants to discuss?
I remember the Cliff Clavin character as one of the best. His description of brain cells being like the buffalo herd, and how drinking beer is like wolves, so that the weaker brain cells in the back get killed first by the beer, and that the stronger buffalo stay up ahead and keep you intelligent, which I always, like, that stuck with me when he said that when I was a kid.
But it just seems like all these typical characters you'd find at the bar, the kind of... The guy who just is there every day, everybody knows him. You got the mailman, you got the sassy bartenders, and, you know, it's just...
Norm is various.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what's good is that it had the perfect mix of all those characters. Like, they intermingled perfectly, and Cheers is one of the shows that I think successfully switched out one of their main characters for another character, and they managed to make her completely different. Like, with Shelley Long and Kirstie Alley. Rebecca and Rebecca.
Rebecca.
And yeah, like, don't forget, around that time too, they had the one character, Coach, die, and they replaced him with Woody Harrelson.
Yeah,
and
that's
It was also another really good transition.
For sure.
And just a quick thing, I guess I'll mention. In Star Trek Deep Space Nine, I don't know if you remember old school, there's a character called Morn.
Not at all.
He was basically kind of like a little nod to Norm.
Oh, okay.
Like just a switch on like the letters of his name, and he was just always sitting at the bar.
Nice.
So it's kind of cool, just like a little nod to Cheers.
None of them ever got really drunk in that show, right?
I don't think so. No,
it's always felt like a bar, but towards like 5 or 6 o'clock before all the drinking began. Like, they were holding beers, but you never saw them get drunk, which is kind of weird.
That's a good point.
The happy hour crowd that would leave before, they got too drunk to work.
Yeah, too rowdy. You never saw bar fights, all the
stuff. They're not the type to get into fights, those guys, anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it seemed like just your typical, customers that come by every day. You're not going to have the 20-something starting shit.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, my friend opened a bar. I'm just going to hang out there for a while and have free drinks.
I mean, because I know, I remember them mentioning that the first season was filmed at the actual Cheers bar in Boston. And I've been there. I do not understand how the hell they filmed a TV show that first season. Because you can really see, if you watch from first to second season, you can see the beer bar changes a lot just from the size alone. And having been at Cheers, I don't understand how they even put camera crews in there. It's just so small.
There must have been trouble with the lighting, too, It must be a huge change in the lighting, I would think.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you're ever down in Boston, I highly suggest, if you enjoyed the show, to check out Cheers, but it's petite. It's a basement bar. It's very small.
All right, let's end the show on Everybody Loves Raymond. Ray Romano. I didn't watch this, really. Who wants to start?
I love this show. I thought it was people say I'm dumb for liking the show, but I thought
I hate this show.
I hate it so much. That show is pretty terrible.
I hate
feel stupider when I watch the show.
What about the guy? He was amazing. Ray
and his brother should burn.
No, Ray sucks. His wife is a total bitch. That's why I think there's this great Family Guy scene where he goes, the wife goes like, "Hey Ray, why is your mom always being mean?" He's like, "Maybe you should try not being a bitch." That's the Family Guy thing.
That's awesome.
Anyways, yeah, no, but the dad was great. He died recently. He was the monster.
Peter Boyle,
Young Frankenstein. Yeah. He's
recently,
incredible.
It was like six years ago.
That's recent.
Yeah, it's recent enough. Oh, that was 90s movies, 90s shows, 90s, 80s. This guy was incredible. A lot of fun. I just kept laughing with his jokes. I liked the older brother, too. I liked Brad Garrett. I thought he was a lot of fun.
Geez.
What's wrong?
It's one shtick. It's like, I'm dumb and I talk slow.
It was funny. I had a lot of fun with him and Peter Boyle. I did not like Ray. Ray annoyed the shit out of me. And he was he seemed like a very selfish and single-minded person.
Yeah, because everybody loves Raymond.
But I want to know, was the point, right? That he actually is loved by nobody because he's a shitty character?
Yeah,
okay, good. Okay, good. So I hate him too. Okay, good.
Everybody thinks Raymond's a piece of shit. That's what it should have been, the more appropriate title.
I see.
One thing I'll give it credit for is the ending was very, it wasn't some big extravagant ending. It was like just kind of life goes on. Like, it was just them sitting, having dinner and kind of like having their same kind of scene. Like, their same kind of bickering and that, but it wasn't like some kind of Seinfeld or Friends where they all move to different things. It was just kind of, life goes on. And so
that seems pretty uneventful. I mean,
you're
ending a series. You tell me you're going to just end it on the way that it was like. The rest of it, I mean, that's not even creative. You're not even making any effort to do any closure.
but it wasn't creative in 8 or 9 years. That's the show.
So yeah, but you have to get them all capped at a restaurant like The Sopranos. That's
how you get it. That would wait. How do you know they got capped in Sopranos? We don't know that. They just closed. We just
don't worry about it. That's what happened. You know, that's it.
When I watch this, I'm like, I feel stupider watching it.
Come on.
Stupider is not a word.
What's worse? Yeah,
exactly.
What's worse, this or 2.5 Men? I find 2.5 Men a lot worse.
That's no, this is worse.
Dumb. No, at least I found the jokes pretty funny.
Very watchable until they
got rid of Charlie Sheen.
That show lived on the charisma of Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, until Charlie Sheen started winning.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Quite stylish. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?
Hopefully it's just actual scrambled eggs.
Frasier has left the building.
Oh, that was Frasier singing that?
No.
Yeah, that was Kelsey Grammer.
I thought it was a black dude.
Yeah, it's not a black dude?
No, it's him.
Yeah, holy moly. You can hear his voice.
I didn't even know. I thought it was some black dude.
I'm sure it's a black dude.
Why do you guys think he has to be black?
It sounds like a black dude.
It's all slowly back away from this disaster.
So what do black people sound like exactly?
Yeah. Like
they
that?
They sound like Mufasa, right?
No, it's like a jazz singer. You don't have any white jazz singers. Come on.
Phil, that was too good. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. That's awesome. Yeah, this is a spinoff from Cheers. I remember my mom loved it. The dad was funny. Niles, the brother, was funny. The dog was funny.
But guys, what's awesome is that you realize that, you know, where they come from with their dad, that they're just pulling off these random accents. That is not how they talk. They just decided to talk this way to sound smarter and, I guess, more eloquent.
Yeah, because their dad's an idiot. Well, not an idiot,
a very grounded man.
Yeah, and then they're all pretend snobs.
Yeah, so I'm like wondering where's that accent come from? It's just to them that's how a sophisticated person sounds like. They're not British.
The girlfriend was Dana, or no, she was the live-in maid. She was fucking annoying.
She was. I agree, especially her psychic powers. I find that's something that was never the show should have just dropped that.
Does there
crap
have
off.
To be one annoying character in every show?
No, but she was like a love interest.
She's
too long
skinny
running.
Too. Way yeah, too long, fucking yeah. skinny.
Wait, who are you talking about here?
The live-in maid.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But wasn't the producer even skinnier?
No, Ross was a normal size chick.
Yeah?
She was anorexic level.
No, what I found fun were the jokes that what's the name? The girl, the producer?
Ross, yeah, Ross was fun. Yeah.
Ross, I like the jokes that he will try, every chance he has of calling her a whore, he totally will.
Oh, that sounds fun.
It's, I don't know, I found it funny.
That's mean.
Yeah, it was very, very underhand. He'd always, like, give her an underhanded comment.
Always, every single time. The first episode's excellent, because the first episode shows you, it breaks down per chapters, per character introduction, and they talk about Eddie, which is the dad's dog. You don't know it's a dog yet. But he's like, oh, I'm bringing Eddie over. Like, oh, no, not Eddie. I hate Eddie. Come on, Eddie's a cool dude. And then it's like the chapter's like just written Eddie, and you see it just cuts to a dog with all of them watching TV. And you're like, oh, that's Eddie. Funny cute.
Yeah, it's smart humor. It's, you know, it's not, it was well written. And
you didn't, you didn't find Niles annoying?
Not at all. No, he was a good background character.
This was another show where the characters all had good chemistry together, I found.
Yeah.
Were there a lot of, like, strong women characters? Do you think this show was women-friendly?
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen it.
For sure.
No? Daphne is pretty strong.
Yeah, Daphne's pretty strong.
She's going to hold
her own. Fucking annoying, but she's strong.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, all right.
Well, I think part of the reason this was so successful is they made Niles more Frasier than Frasier.
Yes.
Like, so Frasier was kind of the quote unquote normal one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a show growing up, I thought it was so stupid. And watching it later, I'm like, this is a brilliant show.
Yeah,
I didn't appreciate it as a kid.
You appreciate it later on, it's true.
Yeah, exactly.
What was dumber, that or Everybody Loves Raymond when you were a kid?
Still, everyone loves Raymond.
That show is just bad.
It just wasn't funny. It was just, annoying.
They weren't even trying to be funny.
Guys get lost. Anyways, so back to Frasier, a funny show. I preferred more the dialogue gags than I wasn't too fond of DM. They would do a lot of gags where, like, one person running to the other when they're not supposed to see each other. Those, to me, would get a bit annoying. I preferred the more verbal gags.
All right, let's close the show in a couple of questions. First one came from Will. What is your favorite sitcom season finale? Who wants to start?
Will will start. That 70s show. I mean, a movie is different, but like an actual long-running sitcom, how do you end it? That 70s show is brilliant. It's just, it's the new year for 1979. It's New Year's Eve. And what comes after is the 80s, and thus the show no longer exists. I found that brilliant.
But the Seinfeld ending sucked. Shows from the 80s and 90s, wasn't the 70s show a 2000s show?
But was it?
But it's... Yeah, it was pretty recent, but it's set in the 70s.
It doesn't count, though. It doesn't help at all. Okay, well, my bad. In any case...
Yeah,
it's still no. Well, look. That's why we didn't mention it before until now. It is still my favorite ending to a sitcom.
Okay, but it doesn't count. It's not 80s or 90s.
Whatever. I could say worse. Worse is freaking what's it called? Home Improvement. I hated that ending. Ending sucks.
That was terrible.
That was a terrible ending.
It made money though.
No, the ending. I'm talking about
the ending was terrible.
What was the ending for Home Improvement?
Yeah. What was it?
Didn't they move the house to Michigan?
He imagines. He just imagines. The house being moved to Michigan in a tugboat. That's the ending. I'm like, gee, thanks.
Oh. Wow. No, they lived in Michigan.
Or no, sorry. From Michigan else? To somewhere else. No, they lived in Detroit. Yeah.
That's
sorry.
Michigan.
Yeah, it's Michigan shit. Yes.
They got out at the right moment.
They got before RoboCop really happened.
Yep.
That would have been funny if the ending was like RoboCop coming in and
the city, they're plowing everything.
Yeah.
I like all endings that have the characters move away someplace else because you know that this place is now over. I like all those endings. So, yeah, you could name quite a few like of endings like that.
Fresh Prince, Boy Meets World,
Friends.
Yeah,
Friends.
Fucking
yes.
Friends. Oh, what a.
You don't like Friends?
Go school. Shut up.
Okay, speaking of black people, where are the black people in Friends? They were next to Central Park.
No, there was one black person. Didn't Ross have a girlfriend that was black?
He had one girlfriend.
An episode or something?
No, she wasn't Paleontologist.
That was so token, though. No. It was such a token black cast.
Yeah, no, they even had, like, the token Asian for a while there with
Yeah, it's Ross.
That was second season, yeah.
Ross
yeah.
always dates those ones.
He dates the ethnics.
Token minorities.
Yeah, but you know what? They both had terrible ends. The minorities had terrible, like, ending for them.
Yeah, because white people stick together.
Yeah,
and too bad. And white people problems.
Didn't they close the series on like doing an orgy or something? That's what I heard.
Shut up, old school.
They all kind of went their separate ways and left the apartment.
Yeah, they did. Old school, why do you hate it?
It's just so fucking cheesy, man. It's just like, you could tell like a chick at Starbucks wrote it. That's all I'm saying.
But then did you find at least like that some hot chicks?
No? Aniston was hot, but I mean... Yeah. Courtney Cox,
Courtney Cox.
Courtney Cox was 90s hot, but Aniston's hot.
But old school, it has some of the best cameos ever. There was Bruce Willis. You had, like, Robin Williams, which is not one great
Alec
one.
Alec Baldwin.
George Clooney, hello.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Brad Pitt.
But you're talking, again, a girl who wrote this at a Starbucks would have those cameos. Where's Roseanne?
At the end, it was part of Roseanne's ending.
Herself, like, after her show with all the crap she's done, so... Roseanne, she screwed herself, man, big time. She, there's a pot thing, there was the Tom Arnold bullshit, I think she got arrested for a fucking domestic dispute, there was singing the national anthem, then grabbing her crotch and spitting on the ground, I mean...
What?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah,
Roseanne,
I remember all that.
Yeah.
So.
That's terrible.
And she had a show, Roseanne's Nuts.
Yeah, about her nut farm.
Yeah, in Hawaii.
Oh, jeez.
Anyways, so we're speaking of best show endings of the shows we talked about?
Yeah. Oh, no, but any show.
I know. Out of the 80s, 90s stuff, to me, Cheers had a really good ending. It's, you know, Sam on the airplane with Diane. And she's like, oh, yeah, well, we'll go to L.A. and we'll fall in love. He's like, screw this. I'm going back to the bar where I really love it. And that's it. Just ended.
That's simple.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Back to his lovable disaster bar.
I'll throw one for The Wonder Years as the best ending, if you consider that a sitcom.
No, it's not. It's a drama.
That's drama.
It's a dramedy.
It's a drama. Drama.
Dramedy,
it's
my
drama.
Friend.
Drama.
It's a drama with occasional
Did it have a laugh track?
No.
Of
you don't need a laugh track.
Was it filmed
or an audience?
Yeah, was it filmed in front of a live studio audience?
I think that was a live studio
audience. Then I think it's a comedy, no?
Dramedy.
Hey guys, that 70s show started in 1998. 90s show. Booyah, fuckers.
Right in.
Whatever. Like,
all right, let's close the show with plugs and final thoughts. We'll start with Phil.
Check out, well, Comic Books for the Win. We got more cosplay interviews coming up from like star local cosplayers. Some of them are really hot, just saying.
Just saying. Will, let's get your plugs, final thoughts.
I agree. They are quite hot, so please. Come on down to...
Yeah, I might as well get these Comic Book for the Win plugs in.
Yeah, come on down to comicbooksftw.com.
Carp, plugs, final thoughts?
Yeah, StableWars.com. We'll be starting a new season of WWE Stable Wars. Right now, you can pick who's going to be the next world champion since Daniel Bryan got stripped. So if you want a good fake internet pretend title, come on down.
Cesaro.
Join the fun.
Cesaro. Heavy set, plugs, final thoughts.
www.kayfabesports.com. Still been adding a lot of new shows lately. I haven't been able to post a couple from this other people that I'm getting on the network. But and since I didn't really get to say my favorite sitcom finale, it's not from 80s, 90s, but to me, the recent one of How I Met Your Mother and Scrubs were two of my absolute favorite.
Awesome. Kebbo Trek, final thoughts.
They don't make themes like they used to in the movie themes because I think the main reason is they take up too much time that could go to advertising, which they do today. But it's a shame because part of the fun is hearing one of those themes and going, yes, that show.
Yes, because right now the theme's like 13 seconds.
Well, yeah, that's it. They can fill in more time for ads. So it's kind of sad because the opening theme is such a big part of the show.
It's true. Gallifrey, final thoughts.
Yeah, about theme songs. I think Joss Whedon was like one of the last people who did theme songs, which is really too bad. And I don't have many plugs, so let's just say now is a very good time to watch Game of Thrones. Finale is airing, you guys, so let's watch that. And let's tune in to Girl Meets World, because my favorite people are going back on screen. Thank you.
So for Gallifrey, Will, Phil, Carp, Heavyset, Kevbo Trek, this is Old School. Thank you very much for listening.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
There's the black guy.
Quite stylish.
That's Saito Bob.
And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe. But I got you, babe.
But it sounds exactly like toast grammar.
But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
For like 10 years, that was a black guy.
They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?
All over his face, neck, and chest.
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indie Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indie Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
Slamming your brain through a table of wrestling knowledge.
Oh my God!
News and rumors.
Oh my God.
the Spanish Announce Table.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.